Lord, always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present request to the Lord. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Alex. Amen. Alex Garrett there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Who doesn't want to be happy? I've never met a person who says, I don't like happiness. I've never met them. I've seen some that appear that way. You know, they've been sucking on a lemon all day and they have that face. But who doesn't want to feel joy? Joy in the soul. Let me ask you this. If you had a time machine and you could go back to any particular time in your life, what would that experience look like? I mean, if you did that, would it be a traumatic event? Would you want to go back to that day that you lost the big game? Would you want to go back to that time that your favorite pet died? Absolutely not, right? Ridiculous. Why would you even say that? We would want to go back to a joyful moment in our life. We might want to be there and see our first steps. You know, what did that look like? How did mom and dad react? Maybe that day that we finally learned how to ride that bike. We might want to go back to that day you met that lifelong friend. You might want to go back to that first kiss, you know? Maybe it's your marriage ceremony. Maybe it's your kid's birth. What would that event look like? How would that feel to you? For many, you're going to choose a moment that you bowed and invited Jesus into your heart. It was that moment that you felt that great joy. That glorious joy that you had in the Lord. Well, we don't have a time machine. We can't go back. But does that mean that we can't live in that joy all the time? Because here in our text, we have this commandment to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says to rejoice in the Lord always. I'm having trouble with my computer. Do you know what it means to rejoice in the Lord always? It means that you rejoice in the good days. You rejoice in the bad days. You rejoice in the mundane days, you know, when there's just nothing happening in your life. And just in case you caught it, but you don't believe it, I meant it when I said verse 4 is a command from God. He doesn't say, when you feel like it, rejoice if you can. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Regardless of the day, whether it's a dark day, a bright day, whether it's an easy time or a difficult time, whether it's a time that there's smooth sailing and you're on cloud number 9, we are commanded to rejoice. In all areas. And in case you didn't hear me, Paul says, again, I say rejoice. Now, beloved, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's not something that you can produce on your own. This world spends a great deal of time, a great deal of money trying to produce joy. Is really what they call happiness. The world tries to work up joy with things that, like happy hour. I'm so sad that that terminology just conjures in your brain what you do down at the, not what you do down at the bar, but what they do down at the bar. You know, that happy hour. I think this is happy hour. Our hour of worship, coming together. There is no greater joy in my life anyway than to come here on Sunday morning to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ to worship our God. The world uses drugs and alcohol to produce joy. And if you know any of those kind of people, you know that they, within an hour or two or four or five, that joy is gone. And a lot of times it's replaced with anger, depression, with hangover. Today's message is going to talk about the benefits and the source of God-given joy. A joy that is so strong that it remains glorious even in the most turbulent storms of your life. Benefits of living a joyful life. The first benefit of living a joyful life is that we are to have joy continuously. Joy, not continuously, but it's contagious. Joy is contagious. Have you ever met a modern day Eeyore? Don't you love our bulletin front? Did you catch that? Well, thank you, Margaret. You did a good job. But that's Eeyore up there in the blue. Eeyore is in that Winnie the Pooh, and oh, he just has the worst times. Oh my, you know, he's those old dumps and nothing go right. I can't find my, you know. He just has that. Sadness. Depression. You know people like that, don't you? Not that person, but you know people like that. These are the kind of people that are filled with such skepticism that they can even make a joyful occasion seem irrelevant. Or worse, like a dirge. But who else is on that picture on the front? Piglet. Now, Piglet in the Winnie the Pooh, he's that positive one. Nothing ever gets him down. You know, he's the one that always sees the bright side of what's happening. Who do you want to be? Piglet or Eeyore? Who do you want to be around? Because Piglet, they're the hopeful, positive. Nothing can get them down. Don't you want to be with people that are gentle and a loving person, and above all, they're encouragers? You know, they've always got your back. They're always there to pick you up. But someone who has the joy of the Lord and who is happy all the time will be there to pick you up. To the Lord Jesus Christ. Every once in a while, we just need to stop our busy day, and we need to count our many blessings. I love some, but I love this. Just count them. Remember what grace God has given you. If you want to become a person, you need to count your many blessings. And Eeyore, piglets are attracted to just their nature. Just that joy is contagious, but also negativity as well. If you have a bleak eye on people close around you, they have the same weak outlook. We need to learn how important our joy and Lord is. We need to learn to build each other up with faith, and encourage one another with God. The second benefit of joy is actually medicinal. Joy is good for you. It really is. Ever wonder why I was tired? But they happen on tap at every hospital. They help us go to the show. Hurt my feelings. But what they meant is the room, but the family can still be here, and I can come back. Like my back. Every since doctors can't deny the power of prayer. Now, together, it has power because, of course, they've been letting the healing of the vision of these guys. It would agree that people, a patient with power, has reduced anxiety, has reduced depression, and it will help speed up their recovery. Joy is linked to reducing stress in your system, reducing heart, reducing pain. And all of this leads to a greater life expectancy. Need proof? Mayo Clinic. Everybody's heard of the Mayo Clinic, right? Mayo Clinic put this article out, read it this week in preparing for this message. They said, joy is a powerful emotion, and harnessing it can be a remedy for stress-related burnout. Contentment and joy can positively improve your physical and mental health and overall well-being. That wasn't Christianity Today. That was Mayo Clinic. That is a secular outlook on joy. Joy will help you get better quicker. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. We've studied Nehemiah just recently. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is a constant gladness. It causes objectivity. It causes you to be positive. And it comes from you strengthening your relationship with the Lord Jesus. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the background of that verse is they have brought out the word of God to the congregation. These people have been working on the building, and they all came together, and Ezra and Nehemiah began to teach and to read the word of God. Now listen, these people have been in captivity. They had not had the word of God read to them. They haven't heard it in decades. And as they hear the word of God, they begin to weep. They were so overcome by the word of God. And Nehemiah had to say, this is a time of celebration because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Proverbs tells us that a joyful heart is like a good medicine. As Christians, we believe that the joy of the Lord not only provides these benefits, but when we couple that joyful spirit with prayer, we see God miraculously healing. It is a good medicine, joyfulness. It's a good medicine. It brings healing to the body. It brings healing to the soul. Real joy does not come from outside experiences like watching cat videos on the internet. Real joy comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. You know where you're going to get joy in your life? By having a devotion with God. Coming to Him, opening up the Word of God, having a time of prayer, and just enjoying a fellowship with God. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. That's where we get joy, from a right relationship with God. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You being joyful, joy in the Lord, I don't mean the secular kind of joy, but having joy in the Lord is going to help you physically. It's going to cause your days to be longer and better. It'll help you in every aspect. Thirdly, joy brings peace. Peace is a benefit of having joy. And peace, I mean, in conflict. People who are very happy, especially those who are have the joy of the Lord, they're not apt to either be giving offenses or taking offense. They're more apt to be able to let things just roll off of them. They're so focused on heaven, they're so focused on giving God glory with their lives, they have little trouble. When little troubles come into their life, when they come up, they can be, they're held back. They don't listen to that. When things get heated between two Christians, it is joy of the Lord that is the key to reconciling our hurts, our hurt feelings. In fact, in your text, if you look in Philippians chapter 4, we had a wonderful reading of that, but the verse 2 and verse 3 says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Sicta to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companions, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And the very next verse is, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Here are two ladies who have been working side by side in the ministry with each other, side by side with the Apostle Paul, and now they are at odds with each other. And this division between these two ladies is so sharp that the Apostle Paul heard about it all the way over in Rome. Since their disagreement was very personal in nature, they could cause disunity in the church. Now, I don't know what they were upset about, but you know, we Christians, we only get upset about the important things, right? Amen? You know, like the brand of coffee that we have in the fellowship room. I don't know what they were upset about, but it was so bad, Paul had to address it. And Paul's remedy was to remind these ladies that their joy in the Lord should compel them to regain their unity and once again be of the same mind so that they might be reconciled, so they might promote harmony in the church. You know what's so sad about these two ladies? Their names are written in the Word of God in the context of fighting. That's how we're going to remember them forever. We don't know if they got reconciled. We don't know anything about them. We just know that they were fought. How do you want to be remembered? If you allowed your best friend to write your epitaph, you let your family write that on your tombstone, what would they write? Would they be those that would say, boy, it was rough having him around. Glad he's gone. How do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered for the one who fought with everyone, who stirred up trouble everywhere, who caused division, who would rather be known for standing on ridiculous things and making your point known? Or do you want to be remembered for being kind and gentle, mature, one who focused more on God than the concerns of the world? I guarantee you, I know how I want to be remembered. I want to be remembered as giving God the glory for everything. Oh, it's so important. No matter what God does in your life, give Him the glory. No matter what you perform in your life, give God the glory. He deserves it. He deserves our worship and our praise. Beloved, those who are filled with the joy of the Lord are less likely to be offended because they have learned from the Lord how to be gentle, how to be compassionate, how to forbear in love with others, because love keeps no records of being wrong. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. We have to understand, if we're going to have peace, unity in the body of Christ, we need to learn how to have the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord comes from an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The last benefit of joy in the Lord that we're going to explore this morning is the ability to help preserve us in times of trials and tribulation. Joy helps you through hard times. The Apostle James, in James chapter 1, he writes, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various kinds of trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its effect, full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. To consider a trial, a tribulation, pure joy, is not something we can do naturally. I don't know about you, but when the storm hits my life, I go, why me? Anybody else? Why is this happening to me? What happened? What did I do? And we go on and on. That's just natural. It's easy to feel sorry for yourself. It's easy to even get angry. But we are to feel joy and rejoice in the Lord when these things come up. Because, as he says, it is going to lead to you being steadfast in the Lord. God is using that trial, wants to use that trial to strengthen you. So you find joy in the fact that God is working in my life. He's bringing this, he's allowing this, he's helping me with this. And I find joy that I know that he is active in my life. It's easy to feel joy and rejoice in the Lord when he makes you to lie down in green pastures, when he leads you beside the still waters. But how do you find joy in the midst of sickness, joblessness, enemies, marital problems, financial difficulties? How do you find joy in the midst of the trial? This morning we sang, "It is well with my soul." I don't know if you ever heard the story behind that. It was written by a man named Horatio Stafford. He was a lawyer in the mid-1800s in Chicago, and he lived during that time of the Great Chicago Fire. In fact, for 2 years after the fire, he and his family, his wife and four daughters, they worked very hard to help the thousands of people who were left homeless by that fire. After that 2 years and things started calming down, he decided that he and his family deserved a vacation, so they were going to go to England, and his friend D.L. Moody, the preacher, was preaching in England at the time. So because of some unexpected business in his law firm, he had to stay behind, but he sent his wife and his four daughters on a ship, and he would follow in just a few days. On the second day of the journey, the voyage, the wife and the daughters were on. It was hit. Their ship was hit by another ship, and it sank, they said, within seconds. It just went straight down. He received a telegram from his wife a couple days later when she got rescued and brought. They found her unconscious, holding on to a piece of wood. The telegram she sent was, "Saved alone." All of his daughters had perished in that sink. He already lost scarlet fever years before that. Now all of his children were dead. He got on the next, he started to go over to be with his wife and try to console her. One day the captain sent for Horatio Spafford and he said, "This is the area in which your daughters went down." It was on that spot that Horatio Spafford began to pen these words, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Horatio Spafford could make such a statement because the source of his joy was not found in the green pastures, not found in the still waters. His joy was found in the Lord, because the Lord was always his shepherd. Beloved, when God is our refuge and our portion in the land of the living, then temporary setbacks of this life are not going to drown the joy of knowing Christ. The day spending eternity with him in his presence will be at the forefront, giving you joy. What matters most is the source of your joy. What is it that brings you true joy in this life? It's not the blessings that God gives. It sure doesn't come from the circumstances of life. True joy is attained only when we put our faith and our trust in the Lord. Joy is not found in being anxious. It's not found in being pessimistic about our future. I mean, if we listened to the news, we would have no joy. Joy is found when we live our lives committing every situation to prayer with thanksgiving, trusting God, knowing he will always do good to those who love him. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." As Christians, we're not to lean upon our own understanding. We're not to trust ourselves. We are to trust God. Trust that He knows your tomorrow. He holds your tomorrow in His hands. The future is secure in Him. And when we stumble, when we fall in this life, we can be assured the Lord will be right there to pick us up. I love that about Peter. Old Peter stepped out on the water, and we ridiculed him because he sank down, but you know, 11 other disciples stayed in the boat. But Peter, when he began to sink, he just prayed, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached in and pulled him back out and put him on solid ground. It's not easy to be content, especially with all the circumstances that are going on in our lives. But we need to learn to truly trust the Lord in all trials, because we know that He is going to work all things together for them that love Him. He's going to work it out to be good. That's where the source of joy comes. I know that I'm in the hands of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And the joy of the Lord can just come like rivers of living water. In his letter to Rome, the Apostle Paul summed up joy in the Lord best with the following benediction. He said, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with joy by the power of the Holy Spirit." I'd like to suggest that we frequently count our blessings, that we may be reminded of the joy that we have, and our joy might overflow into all circumstances of our lives. It's very easy to let our circumstances get us down, especially when we're going through a trial. Let's take the time to remember that we as Christians are forgiven. We have been cleansed. We have been made a child of God. We are a masterpiece of God's grace. He who loves us with an undying love. He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. But His glorious future plan for us is to be in a home that He has prepared for us. Before Jesus left, He said, "He's going to prepare a place for you." He said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, how I look forward to that day. So let us rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We are to delight in the Lord Jesus, who lives in you and through you, who died for you, who is risen for your justification, who is at the right hand of God the Father praying for you in this service today. He's reigning over all the world, and soon He's coming back to take us home. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the joy of the Lord. We love you and thank you for being our Savior, being our God. But God, we know that it's not in the blessings that we have joy, it's in the relationship that we have. Because you saved us, we are a part of the family of God, engrafted. We have been adopted. And Lord, we can now turn every circumstance into a time of growing closer to you, coming together in prayer, leaving it all on the altar, asking you to give us your joy, your peace that passes all understanding. Minister your grace to these, your people. Lord Jesus, if there's someone here today that does not know you, let today be the day that they would turn their heart over to you, repent of their sin, and ask you to forgive them. This is our deepest prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. During our invitation, we want to invite you to come this morning. Maybe you have questions about salvation. We'd like to answer them as best as we can. Maybe you're looking for a home church and God has led you to First Baptist. We'd love for you to come and be a part, be members with us. If you just need someone to pray with you, we'll be here at the front. Whatever your need may be, as we stand together and as we sing, "You Come" on this first stanza, we'll wait for you.